Day 30. Your giving will be a great help and encouragement to others. Your giving, whatever giving you do, might be $5 sometimes, might be $10, might be, you know, giving someone some clothing or giving someone something they need. Whatever giving you do with a spirit of generosity towards God and others will be a great encouragement. 2 Corinthians 9:12. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but it is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, in other words, are you a Christian? Prove it by your generosity. Prove it by your giving. That's what the Bible teaches. Men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. If you want to bring praise to God in this world, then share generously. That's just a flat-out reality. A few years ago when I took Josh to Eastern Europe when he turned 13, we went to 4 countries in Eastern Europe and 10 cities. And when we were in Belgrade, which is in former Yugoslavia, now it's Belgrade, Serbia, he wanted to get a pair of tennis shoes. And so I went to the ATM machine. And so, you know, it's all monopoly money to me over there. But, you know, I thought we had to get out 30,000 of whatever the, you know, Serbian money was. And so I, you know, hit the ATM machine and I got out the money. Thought I was getting out $50. Some of that was going to be used for tennis shoes. So then we go to the store and we were buying the tennis shoes and I have all this money in my hand and the guy says, no, I just need a little bit. I'm like, well, what do I have in my hand then? If you only need a little bit for these tennis shoes, what's this? And he goes, oh, you got about $500 US. Now we're going to be there for about a couple days. And getting money out of an ATM machine in Serbia is a little bit like getting toothpaste out of the tube. Once you get it out, you are not getting it back in. So I'm like, I got $500. Now, where we were at in Serbia, the unemployment is 80%. Let me say that again. The unemployment is 80%. So as we began to move the next couple of days, and as we began to go out into the villages, and as we began to meet Christians and so forth, and we began to talk to people, and some of them were so impoverished, one church, they never took an offering because they were convinced that nobody had anything. I challenged them on that. God is always providing for people. Don't ever short circuit what the reality of God's provisions in their life. But here's what we did, what Josh and I did. As we went around into these different villages and these different homes and these different apartments, we hid money. We put money under a cup. We put money in the refrigerator. We put money, you know, over off to the side somewhere. Because these are people that are, I mean, they're, you know, praying for God's provisions. You know, I never got to be there when they found it. But I know this. When they found it, they had no idea who gave it. And what could they do but praise God? The finding of those dollars by those families that were dealing with massive unemployment and low income, I just know in the sovereignty of God that as they prayed and suddenly they're like, what's this? You know, suddenly under something there's a what would be $50, which would be a month's wages. I mean, how'd you like to find a month's wages under a cup one day or in the corner of the fridge or something else? You know, we have different families over the years, and sometimes we put money in the fridge and said, here's some cold cash. You know, and then with the verse. But here's the reality, that the giving had to result in praise to God because the people didn't know who to thank. You know, because I was there with a variety of other people, so some of them obviously probably didn't find it right away. Some of them might have found it a few days later. But even then, it's the whole goal there was, well, let's have some fun giving to some of God's people. Proverbs 19:4, wealth brings many friends. Everyone is a friend of man who gives gifts. I was doing a little research this morning. You know, I told you that if you make more than $1,500 a year, you're in the top 25% of the world's populations for wealth. If you make more than $1,500. I want to ask you to raise your hands, but if I did, and if I said, how many of you make more than $50,000 a year? $50,000 a year. If I asked you to raise your hands on that, quite a few hands would go up. Here's the thing. You're in the top 1%. You, my friend, are in the top 1% of the world's wealthiest people if you make $50,000 a year. You didn't know you were so rich, did you? But the reality is you are. Some of you say, well, I don't make $50,000. Okay, let's say make $25,000. Well, you're in the top 10%. You make $25,000. If you make $12,500, minimum wage or thereabouts, you're in the top 13% of the world's population, wealthiest people in the world. And so God desires us, if we have these resources entrusted to us, we need to learn to share. Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. As a church family, my church last year was praying. We wanted to reach beyond generations and walls. And we kept praying, God, give us an opportunity, give us an opportunity, give us an opportunity to move beyond the walls of this church and to somehow touch the lives of people of a different generation. And then we got word that the middle school in town, $4 million construction project, and things are running behind. And so instead of getting the school back weeks before the school was to open, they were going to get the school back 3 days before the school was open. What they did is they put in new HVAC in the entire school, and so all of the ceiling panels have been taken down, and the dust of 40 years of that school had just kind of descended onto the classrooms. And so there was dust on the walls, there was dust on the shelves, there was dust on everything in the entire classroom. And so they were going to get the school back 3 days before school started, but the entire school was covered with dust. And then our church intersected, and it was called the Miracle on the Mesa because they were on Mesa Road. And on the Saturday before school opened, we sent 250 people from our church with buckets and with mops and with brooms and brushes and rags, and we cleaned 40 classrooms. We cleaned 1,000 desks. We cleaned hundreds of shelves. We cleaned 15 offices. We cleaned the band room. We cleaned everything in the entire school, and the school was able to open. This is called the Miracle on the Mesa. There was an English teacher that's not a Christian, and she talked to me about it. And she says, you know, I've never liked Christians very much. But she said, this is the coolest thing I've ever heard. This is the coolest thing I've ever seen done. She said, and the principal said, principal in there 30 years, and said, in 30 years of leading this school, no church has ever come alongside our school and helped us. You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. The Miracle on the Mesa came. The newspapers came. The television cameras came. And so in our city, the news of that work took place. But it was a generous act. Guess what it cost us? It cost us a morning. One morning, 8:30 to 12. And for the first time in 113 years in our church history, we stepped out into the community to bring glory to God by helping someone. Your giving, your generosity, your time is a blessing to others.